Today with Joseph Prince.
We have Jesus. It's actually Jesus. He is the one that angels come down and angels go up. Because with Jesus, heaven and earth are met. Amen. It's very easy for anything in heaven to come down on earth. Any need, heaven has a supply. Amen. And you have Jesus. So you have the same promise. He's telling you, I'll protect you wherever you go. Amen. And remember this. God wants you to confess, in the Lord Jesus, I have righteousness and strength. Amen. That doesn't do away with the need of asking God for wisdom, living depending on Him, doesn't exempt us from having responsibility to live our life for the glory of God. The moment you believe on Jesus, the moment you confess Him as Lord, you are righteous. You don't go into a process of righteousness, you are righteous. Now, your actions are not perfect. Your actions, your thoughts will still not be perfect. But in terms of standing in the courts of heaven before God, God, the judge of heaven, has pronounced you righteous. Jesus said, the only thing He wants us to do is let not your heart be troubled. All right, doesn't really matter what's happening, what you watch on TV, really doesn't really matter. Your part, your responsibility to God's word, to God's shalom is, let not your heart be troubled.
Start the year on the right note with Happy and Healthy, Joseph's 4-CD audio series, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Get your copy today and discover how you can unlock the health-giving power that comes from having a relaxed heart and feeding on God's word. And for a gift of $75 or more to the ministry, you can also get the God Wants Me Well package. This limited-time offer includes Joseph Prince on Healing, a 3-DVD collection filled with powerful truths on healing, specially curated from the best of Joseph's teachings over a period of 10 years. Get ready to be impacted by these life-changing truths and faith-building revelations today. Get your copy now at josephprince.org or call us toll-free at 877-769-5433. Don't miss this limited time offer.
The greatest thing that Jesus left behind to the church is this justification by faith gospel. It's the gospel of being righteous by faith, not righteous by your works, which is the crux of the gospel. Okay, having said that, let me just tell you this. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's how we all got saved. We believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouth Jesus is our Lord. But there's more than just saying Jesus is Lord. There's an understanding Jesus is Lord of what? Lord is a Lord, shalom, my peace. Lord, sitkenu, my righteousness. Right? Lord Nissi, my banner, my warrior. For with the heart one believes unto what? Righteousness. You see, back in those days, they teach righteousness. The moment you believe on Jesus, the moment you confess Him as Lord, you are righteous. You don't go into a process of righteousness. You are righteous. Now, your actions are not perfect. Your actions, your thoughts will still not be perfect. But in terms of standing in the courts of heaven before God, God, the judge of heaven, has pronounced you righteous. And with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, the word salvation, many times when the evangelical church as a whole, they teach salvation as salvation from hell to heaven. Am I right? Say amen. Amen. If that's the impression you all have. Now, that is not accurate. It's not fully accurate. It does involve that, of course. Thank God for that. That's the eternal security we have. It's the word salvation. But do you know that both Thayer and Vine, W.E. Vine, both are Greek scholars of the New Testament, and both of them said that messianic salvation, which is what we described just now as safe in heaven forever, is actually the third definition or the fourth definition. It is still a definition, but the first definition, according to Vine, is this. Salvation is used in, I'm quoting Vine's now, his dictionary, salvation is used in the New Testament, number one, A, of material and temporal deliverance from danger and apprehension. Why is that not preached? And we just learned that if we believe Jesus is our Lord of righteousness, He is our righteousness, amen? With the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto your deliverance from temporal danger. Okay, so this is the thing. When you believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that you stand in Jesus' righteousness, not yours. You cannot be proud. When you do that and you confess, when you are sick, you confess, you are healed. Because the word salvation is the word sozo. It's used by Jesus when he told the woman, your faith has sozo you. Many times, those who are healed by Jesus, he will use the word sozo. And soteria come from the word sozo. Soteria, sotar, from the word sozo. Soteria is a noun. Sozo is a verb. You got it? All right. Actually, it's Greek for Yeshua. In fact, when the Father named his son as a man, Jesus was named Yeshua. In Greek, it will be soteria. It's an all-encompassing word that means deliverance from material or physical danger, all right? Thayer says it like this. The first definition, A, deliverance from the molestation of enemies. Look at B, preservation of physical life. C, D, and all that is all you know. So I'm going to put it up there because you all know this. All Christians know salvation as the number three, number four, messianic salvation, eternal life, being in heaven. So I'm not going to put it down. I'm going to show you, for both these Greek scholars, they put down as A, priority one, definition, temporal deliverance, even preservation of physical life, even deliverance from molestation of enemies. Christians, sometimes, you know, you see them like you know, sometimes I feel an evil spirit, you know, tickle my toes when I'm sleeping. I feel an evil spirit, you know, strangling me when I'm sleeping. I feel an evil spirit. Most likely, you are listening to teachings about evil spirits, even Christian teachings. I want to tell you something. Do you know that your salvation includes deliverance from molestation of enemies? But are you saying, Pastor Prince, there are no evil spirits? I say they are there, but they have no right to molest you. Yeah. You understand that? More or less. They have no right to molest you, molest your mind, molest your emotions. They have no right. You have a right, God-given right of salvation. So how do you get it? Go back to Romans 10. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right? Confession is made unto that deliverance from molestation of enemies. Confess it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Confess you are delivered from the power of darkness. Amen. Okay? Romans 4. Let's go to Philippians 2 first. I'm going to answer the question, where do you find the Bible that we confess we are the righteousness of God? Okay. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus' name is the name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. Of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. You know what that tells me? That those who don't bow to the name of Jesus here will bow in hell. They will still bow. Everyone that blasphemes Jesus will one day in hell say, Jesus is Lord. Because the Bible says so. Every knee will bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Paul is quoting Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah. I have sworn, God is talking, by myself. Now, this is the greatest oath in the entire universe. When God swears by himself, I want you to know something, is the greatest oath ever. All right, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath or confess. What? Next verse. He shall say, watch this, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. Now, we read in Philippians that our confession is Jesus Christ is Lord. Just like Romans 10, Jesus, confess your mouth, Jesus is Lord, but with a heart, you actually believe. When you say Jesus is Lord, what are you saying? Jesus is my righteousness. The Lord, my righteousness. Here he brings it out. Surely shall one say. He's talking about people bowing before him, every knee bow, every tongue takes an oath. And what is the confession? Surely he shall say, Isaiah saw you and I. Isaiah saw the teachings that we have today. Isaiah saw, and he's looking at you, man. He's looking at you, woman. He's looking at you, brother. And he's saying, he shall say, referring to us, in the Lord, surely in the Lord, I have what? Right. Or you can say, I am the righteousness of God in the Lord, in Christ Jesus. Surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. To confirm again, in the Lord, in Christ, all the descendants of Israel, and we are all Abraham's seed, shall be justified. And you know what follows justification? Once you know you are justified, you know what happens? Glory is waiting for you. Shall be justified and shall glory. So, here is your authority. Where you have that part where God saw that people will start confessing, in the Lord I have righteousness. That takes revelation. Can I have a good amen, people? That's why that explains the attack against the body of Christ. Well, what he's teaching you is that there's no such thing as sin. Why would I teach that and then teach you to step in the righteousness of another? If there's nothing, if there is no sin, if I'm teaching there's no sin, you don't need any righteousness, yours or anybody else's. Duh. Or he's teaching people that there's no sin. If I say there's no sin, then what do I mean when I say we have forgiveness of sins? Duh. See, the attack is not human. It is infernal. The devil knows that the moment, the day you realize that you are now functioning, operating, standing in the righteousness of another, capital A, his days of molesting you, bullying you, are over. Amen. Are you listening, people? Huh? Shikala babala shantala bahaya. Mange sukurubashantai. I got so much, you know, but time is catching up. So I'm just going to tell you something right now. Let's go right to Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Let's go to verse 13. For the promise that he'll be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. So you see, the promise is not, this promise of being the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, which is Christ primarily. Then all of us are Abraham's seed because we are in Christ. How does it come to us? It does not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Hence, we understand why the devil is fighting tooth and nail against the righteousness of faith and why he's promoting the law. Now, is it possible that you are the righteousness of God and still be defeated? Is it possible? Let's close with this story, shall we? All right, we have looked at doctrine. Now, let's go to a story. Let's go to the story of Jacob. You know, Jacob... Before we look at Jacob's story, I just want to tell you this. Jacob is a very interesting fellow. How many would agree with me that Jacob, being the grandson of Abraham, he has the blessing of Abraham? He's the heir of the world, right? He's righteous by faith, right? Come on. In fact, the Ten Commandments wasn't given yet. It'll be 400 over years after Jacob's life. So he walked with God. The problem with Jacob is this. Even though the mother was pregnant with him and his brother, twins, in her womb, Rebecca went to God and said, what's going on? What's going on? She sensed there's a turmoil going in her womb. And the Lord says, two nations are in your womb, but the elder will serve the younger. She heard God say, the elder will serve the younger. We all know who is the elder, Esau. All right, Esau is supposed to serve Jacob. Sorry, excuse me. Yeah, Esau is the older, serve Jacob, right? You know the story, what happened? After they were born, the mother devised a plan, all right? Even though God spoke to her, it's always this as a problem. God speaks to us, it's not enough. We want to help God. So the time came. Isaac was in the mood, all right, to bless. The mother says, you know, he's going to give the blessing. And his eyes was dim. He cannot see properly. So he's going by touch. Now, Esau, the older brother, has hairy. He's like a... Harrison Ford. I mean, strong and hairy and handsome. Okay? The younger one, the Bible says, always stays at home. He's like one of the Korean stars. Everything's smooth. Okay, anyway. The mother says, okay, I tell you what. All right? Your father just asked for venison from your brother because he loves to eat your brother's venison. But I tell you what, I'll kill a venison and I'll take a goat. All right? I'll kill a goat and I'll take the goat's skin and wrap you your arms with the goat skin. So your father is blind, he can't see. When he touches you, he will think it's Esau. Then Jacob says, but mother, he will curse me. Listen to what the mother said. Upon me be your curse. Now, just remember this. even though they're under the blessing of Abraham. You got to be careful what you say. Do you know that when Jacob left home, the mother says, go away for a few days because, okay, let me just tell you what happened. Then the father ate the food. He says it feels like Jacob's hands, feels like Esau's hands, but the voice is Jacob's voice, he said. Anyway, the father blessed him. Now, God already said that Jacob will be the firstborn, or rather the one getting the firstborn blessing. And the father gave the firstborn blessing. Then when he went out, Esau came in with his venison. And the truth was known. And the son Esau cried and cried, and the father laid hands on him and gave him some leftover blessings. But not the firstborn blessing. And he said in his heart, when my father dies and the period of mourning, and the period of mourning is over, I'm gonna kill Jacob. The mother heard about it. The mother told him, son, go away to my brother's place. Laban is her brother, all right? And flee from this place and come back only when your brother's anger has abated. When he left his father's house, he slept at a place later on called Bethel. He put a number of rocks under his hood and he fell asleep. And he had a dream. He dreamed a ladder and angels ascending and descending. And the Lord said this to him. What did the Lord say? The Lord said to him, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Now, God never rebuked him in this. He just deceived his father. Yet, because of the righteousness of faith, God would deal with him, yes. But God would deal with him in love, transform him, yes. But notice, this happened immediately after he deceived his father. Yet, there was no rebuke from God. In fact, God says, I will keep you, protect you. Say, protect. The word keep there in Hebrew is shomar. Shomar is hedge around, protect. You wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He called the place Bethel. He anointed the pillar that he slept on, the rocks. He made a pillar. He anointed with oil. All right, he calls it Bethel. And then as he took his staff and all that, he said, God, I only have my clothes on my back and a staff. But Lord, whatever you give me from now on, I'll give the 10 to you. That's the last part of Genesis 28. So he went to his uncle's place. You know the story, he fell in love with Rachel. But instead of Rachel, he got Leah, all right? Deception breeds deception, all right? He deceived his father, and now he's deceived by his uncle. 20 years he spent there instead of a few days, 20 years. Then finally God appeared to him. God said, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar. I am the God of Bethel. Go back to Bethel. Go back to your father's land. So he started to gather all his family, all right? One night, he didn't tell the father-in-law, all right? He was afraid to tell the father-in-law. He took all his children, young children, his wives, the servants, and donkeys, and flock, and all, and he fled when Laban was shearing sheep. And Laban heard about it. 3 days later, Laban and his men, they are warriors, desert warriors, like those Arab warriors you see. All right, they rode on a horse and they chased him for 7 days. And because he's moving slow with the family and all flock and all that, they caught up with him. And then he said, look, you know, I could have killed you. What is this? There's no celebration. You didn't give me a chance to kiss my daughters that you married, my grandchildren and all that. It's in my heart to kill you. But last night, God appeared to me in a dream. And God said to me not to do anything to you, good or bad, or to say anything to you. Had God not said that, he says, he was very angry. I just want to ask you, why? If you want to go, why take my gods? Jacob said, take your gods. Why do you take my gods, my idols? In Hebrew, teraphim. He says, I didn't take your idols. No, my idols, my household idols are missing. You know who took it? Rachel. And Rachel put it under the camel saddle that she sat on. Then Jacob said this, whoever you find the idol with, let him die. Let him not live. It was a curse from a righteous by faith man. He didn't know it was Rachel. Rachel died before he arrived back to his father's house in Hebron. She died near Bethlehem. And the baby she gave birth to was called She called him Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow. But the father says, no, he'll be Benjamin, son of my right hand. You see, the thing is this, people. You gotta be, though we are righteous by faith, amen? Watch our words. Yep. Pastor Prince, my husband, there are one or two always, you know, their marriage is not all together there. And the lady might worry. My husband cursed me all the time. Don't worry. Every time he cursed you, Jesus cancels it. In this case, she had an idol and he didn't know he was pronouncing a foundation of righteous. You know, there was a foundation. The curse costless shall not come. There was a cost here. Okay, praise God. I'm going to end there and tell you this. Looking back years, 20 years earlier, when he was lying down there, all right, he dreamed a dream. This promise is also for you. At Bethel, before he knew it was Bethel, Jacob dreamed. He just deceived his father. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and it stopped reached heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now we fast forward to the New Testament and we'll close with this verse. Jesus in John 1 said to Nathanael, "Amen, amen, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The place of Bethel, the house of God, is where angels come with treasures from heaven. Amen. I have seen like treasures being poured, golden oil, touches someone and someone is just healed. Amen. All the dietary things and all the exercise cannot remove that condition. In one smack moment, an angel pouring out, the person is healed of a chronic condition. All the testimonies you hear me share, deliverance from chronic condition, deliverance from porn addiction, the angels may be involved. Jesus is the healer. He's the deliverer. He allows angels. Amen. So where is the place where angels are coming down, angels are going up? That's the place that God promised Jacob, "I'll bless you, I'll bless your children, they'll multiply east, west, south, and I'll protect you everywhere you go." If only Jacob had meditated on that and believed God. But he's a righteous man who is always afraid something bad will happen. Amen? But this same promise is for you. Why? We have Jesus. That ladder that Jacob saw is actually Jesus. He is the one that angels come down and angels go up. Because with Jesus, heaven and earth are met. Amen. It's very easy for anything in heaven to come down on earth. Any need, heaven has a supply. Amen. And you have Jesus. So you have the same promise. He's telling you, "I'll protect you wherever you go." And remember this. God wants you to confess, "In the Lord Jesus, I have righteousness and strength." Amen. That doesn't do away with the need of asking God for wisdom, living depending on Him so that we guide our families, amen, in the right pastures, amen, in green pastures. Doesn't exempt us from having responsibility to live our life for the glory of God. And all the people said, yes. Have you been blessed? Yes. Give Him praise, church. Come on. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "The only thing He wants us to do is let not your heart be troubled." All right, doesn't really matter what's happening, what you watch on TV, really doesn't really matter. Your part, your responsibility to God's word, to God's shalom is let not your heart be troubled.
Start the year on the right note with Happy and Healthy, Joseph's 4-CD audio series, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Get your copy today and discover how you can unlock the health-giving power that comes from having a relaxed heart and feeding on God's Word. And for a gift of $75 or more to the ministry, you can also get the God Wants Me Well package. This limited-time offer includes Joseph Prince on Healing, a 3-DVD collection filled with powerful truths on healing, specially curated from the best of Joseph's teachings over a period of 10 years. Get ready to be impacted by these life-changing truths and faith-building revelations today. Get your copy now at josephprince.org or call us toll-free at 877-769-5433. Don't miss this limited-time offer.
Dear friend, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with you. Thanks to the support and prayers of our JPM partners, so many more people are discovering the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. But there is so much more to be done, and if you're not yet a JPM partner, I want to invite you to be part of this important work. If this precious message of grace has touched your life, will you pray about being a JPM partner today?
So many people, believers included, are still living lives of defeat and brokenness. Your response will allow many more imprisoned by guilt, addictions, sickness, and depression to discover the message of God's grace and experience their breakthroughs.
Friend, as you prayerfully consider joining us as a partner, know that Wendy and I are praying for you to experience the Lord's grace and peace in every area of your life. God bless you.
Thank you, Joseph Prince Ministries partners, for your prayers and generous support that help us broadcast the gospel into millions of homes around the world.
Today, we thank God the gospel of Jesus Christ has transformed everyone under the sound of it.
And that's the reason for the TV ministry.
Broadcast from the housetops to all the four corners of the earth. Amen.
If you've been blessed by today's message, we invite you to partner with us to send the gospel of grace to the nations. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org/partner today.
Addiction to alcohol for 17 years. Pastor Prince talks about when you're in the middle of your addiction to confess you're the righteousness of God in Christ. I would feel like the biggest hypocrite in the world, but while pouring a drink, I would just say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Within about 2 weeks, my addiction started to wane. So that at the beginning of February, I noticed that I didn't crave alcohol anymore. And it dawned on me that I had been delivered. What it is that kept me free is constantly reminding myself that I'm forgiven and there's no condemnation. That, you know, His wrath was poured out on Jesus at the cross and He'll never pour it out on me. And that right there, it's right believing that causes right living.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.